Let's turn our attention back to the coup of Absalom against his father, King David. We'll pick it up in 2 Samuel chapter 16. We'll roll it back to verse 21. This is after Absalom has arrived at the capital city, at Jerusalem, just minutes after David has gone up and over the Mount of Olives, heading down toward the Jordan Valley. So it's a very close call again. And Absalom is looking to establish himself very clearly as the new king in place of his father. He has one of his father's longtime advisors that has joined in the coup from the very beginning, a guy by the name of Ahithophel. And he is leaning heavily upon him. By the way, Absalom is in his early 30s at this time, probably 34 or so. And Ahithophel gives Absalom this advice as to how to exactly signal to everyone that he is done with his father. I actually think he's planning on killing him if he can track him down. But this is how he's going to make it clear there is no going back. So Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you have made yourself a stench to your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strengthened." These are the 10 secondary wives, wives that do not have the right for their children to be considered for the throne. So they're not in the hierarchical structure of the kingdom. David, I think, left these ladies to just keep things running in the palace because he didn't think they were in any type of threat from Absalom, because Absalom is just wanting to take control of the kingdom. So why would he care about some secondary wives who, even if they have kids, have no right to the throne? But Ahithophel says, if you go in and have intimate sexual relations with these legally married women to your father, everyone will understand that is the burning of all bridges. And so that's exactly what he does. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof of the palace, understand. The roofs were flat, and the top flat roof was typically used as some sort of patio or deck to make the most of the prevailing winds coming across. You might put some little lean-tos or something up there. So in this case, they actually put a pavilion, a tent, up there. And he is going to go in one at a time to these 10 women. He's not going to be involved probably in full sexual intercourse with them. He just goes in and has some sort of intimate sexual contact with them to show, I'm taking over my father's kingdom. There's no going back. And that is exactly what the prophet Nathan said would happen. If you remember back when Nathan confronted David, he said, what you did with your adultery with Bathsheba, you did quietly in the shadows. But what's going to happen to you later is going to be out in the open for everyone to know about. So Ahithophel's advice has actually brought to fulfillment a prophecy from many years earlier. Verse 23, now, in those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. And so was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed, both by David and then by Solomon. So he was a very prominent counselor, very influential man. But he is thrown in with the coup. He was in on it from the get-go and voluntarily has been advising Absalom in this coup. Now, David has prayed, though, that God would make his wise counsel foolish. And then, when he had the opportunity, he sent Hushai to go and counter this advice given by Ahithophel to Absalom. Now, Hushai was apparently not available or was not consulted about the whole concubine issue, but he will be consulted on the next one. So let's think about the timing here again. It seems as if Absalom had his coup coronation the previous day down at Hebron. Then he arrives at Jerusalem shortly after his father has evacuated up and over the Mount of Olives. He spends part of his day being involved in this shaming of his father's concubines. And now he needs to decide what to do about the evacuation forces of David. Chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men. I will arise and pursue David tonight." So he doesn't just simply want to give advice. He wants to be actively involved in ending David. He wants to put a stop to any possibility of David returning to power. So he wants to take 12,000 of the military supporters of Absalom and go rushing up and over the Mount of Olives and down into the Jordan Valley, catch David's entourage and kill David specifically. Verse 2, "I will come upon him while he's weary and discouraged and throw him into a panic. All the people who are with him will flee. I will strike down only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride comes home to her husband. You seek the life of only one man, and all the people will be at peace." So this is his advice. Kill David. We would bring it into modern parlance, which we've actually heard in military situations. You cut off the head of the snake, and the snake dies. So, kill David. Any type of resistance to you will evaporate. Everybody will acknowledge you as the new king. Keep in mind that Absalom is the crown prince. The original crown prince, Amnon, was a rapist, and Absalom killed him. And so Absalom definitely has an awful lot of support. And so you have to acknowledge Ahithophel's advice is sound. It is likely to come to pass if it's carried out. Verse 4, "The advice seemed right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel." The elders of Israel there, we're talking about pretty much the Sanhedrin. We've got a lot of support has been shifted to Absalom over the last few years. Because David's been having trouble. Ever since the Bathsheba incident, he's been a shadow of his old leadership person. And so the leadership is behind Absalom at this point. So Absalom then said, and I believe he was maybe pushed by the Holy Spirit to seek out this advice, "Call Hushai the Archite also. Let's hear what he has to say." So Hushai knows David well, and so Absalom wants a second opinion from somebody else that knows his father well. "When Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom said to him, Thus has Ahithophel spoken. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak. So here's his advice. Do you agree with it? If you don't, tell me why. So Hushai said to Absalom, oh, this time the counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good. So he's fulfilling exactly why he's here. To frustrate, to sidetrack, to negate any good advice given by Ahithophel. So he says, no, usually he's on top of things, but this time he's missing some key components. Hushai said, you know that your father and his men are mighty men. So they are fighters, and that is true. David is probably right around his 35th, 36th year on the throne, somewhere in that neighborhood. He's about 65, 66 years of age. He has been a warrior since his mid-teens. And he's been a top-notch warrior, and he surrounded himself with warriors. So he knows how to fight. And Hushai says, you need to take that in consideration here. Like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field, your dad and his people are going to be like cornered wild animals if you go down after them. Then he says this, besides, your father's an expert in war. He's not going to spend the night with the people. So do you honestly think he's going to stay in the main encampment? No, he's going to be hiding away somewhere else so that if you do send a pursuit force after him, the moment you strike and he becomes aware of it, he can still escape. So the whole thing that Ahithophel is trying to say is, I can take the king out by himself and everybody else will return to you. It's not going to be happening. Just not going to happen. Behold, even now, he has hidden himself in one of the pits or in some other place. So he knows the terrain. He knows the hiding places. Keep in mind while we're talking about this that Absalom has never had to be in the military. The whole time that he has been of military age, his father has been living in peace because he's already secured it. So what Hushai is telling Absalom are things that he doesn't understand firsthand. He just knows them by stories. As soon as some of the people fall at the first attack, whoever hears it will say, there has been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. So basically, if you guys strike first and you miss him, which you will, his counterstrike is going to take a lot of your people down. And the moment that that gets out, that there has been a major, major strike against your force, people are going to start thinking that David is going to make it back, that he's going to be in charge again, and you will lose everything. Verse 10, then even the valiant man, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will utterly melt with fear. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man and that those who follow with him are valiant men. But my counsel is that Israel be gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba. So here's my counterproposal. Take your time. Build up a large military force of individuals from all the tribes, from the north and the south. As the sand by the sea for multitude, and that you shall go to battle in person. So once you get all your military strong, then you lead them against David. Verse 12, for we shall come upon him in some place where he is to be found. We will light upon him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him and all the men with him, not one will be left. So basically, we will overwhelm him and his supporters and be able to annihilate them. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel will bring ropes to that city, will drag it into the valley, not until even a pebble is to be found there. So if he does go into a fortified city, we'll just level it to the ground. We'll raise it to the ground and then kill him and his supporters. And that'll be the end of it. We will have totally put down any possible counter-revolution. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For he who is has ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel so that he who is might bring harm upon Absalom. So the prophet writer of this part of 2 Samuel makes it very clear. God made sure that Absalom and his guys believed that Hushai's advice was better than Ahithophel's. Because this is the reality, folks. We know David's state of mind. He is very depressed. He is down on himself. He believes that it is very possible that God is the one that's doing all of this. If he had been attacked on his evacuation from Jerusalem down to the Jordan Valley on this particular night, you know, if Ahithophel had taken his forces and gone up and over the Mount of Olives and down into the Jordan Valley during the hours of darkness and come upon David's camp, it is highly likely that David would have died. And probably some of his men who tried to defend him, but a lot of people would just abandon him because he's got a lot of civilians with him as well. So if Ahithophel's advice had been followed, the Davidic kingdom would have terminated and Absalom's kingdom would have been put in place. But God has reversed that and given David more time. So as soon as Hushai is aware that his advice is going to be followed and that there will be no pursuit force tonight, Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar, remember the two priests that David said, you guys need to stay, and I need you to be my inside guys. So Hushai passes this information on to these two leaders, these two supporters of David. Thus and so did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so have I counseled. Now therefore, send quickly, tell David, don't stay tonight at the fords of the wilderness, that's the fords of Jordan, down by the city of Jericho. So by all means, pass over. So don't stay on the west side of the Jordan River. You make sure you go to the east side and keep moving as fast as you can go, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. So Hushai is apparently even concerned that maybe on the following day, Absalom might rethink the advice given to him and might send a pursuit force after all. So he wants David's evacuation to get all the way into Gilead and to a fortified city where he'll have a much better chance. So how's this information going to get to David? Well, we already know how it's going to happen, and here's the information. Verse 17, now Jonathan and Ahimaaz were waiting at En-Rogel. Now, En-Rogel is a spring. En is the Hebrew word for spring. En-Rogel is located somewhere close to the junction of the Kidron Valley that passes on the east side of the ancient city of Jerusalem, and the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, which passes on the south side of the ancient city of Jerusalem. So right there where those two valleys come together and then continue going to the south east toward the Dead Sea, that's where Enrogel is. So at the extreme southeast corner of the city of Jerusalem, on the outside of the city of Jerusalem. So they are waiting there to get a message because they're going to run to David with it. A female servant was to go and tell them, and then they were to go and tell King David, for they were not to be seen entering the city. So a female servant who's in on the David support crew is to take the information from the priests out of the city down to the well, because it wouldn't be unusual for a woman to be going out to this well, to this spring, and pass the information on to these young men. Unfortunately, though, verse 18, a young man saw them and told Absalom. So they were seen. Now they're on their way. They both of them went away quickly, and they came to the house of a man at Bahurim, who had a well in his courtyard. Now, we've heard about Bahurim before. When David was evacuating, he went past there. And so it's up and near the top, the peak of the Mount of Olives to the north and east from the city of Jerusalem. And so they hide out inside the well. So they went down into it. The woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and scattered grain on it, and nothing was known of it. So this is a well that doesn't have curbstones around it. And they pull something over the top of it, perhaps some boards, some lumber, maybe with some tarp, what we would call a tarp, but some sort of fabric over the top of the wood and lumber. And then they got a whole bunch of grain laying on top of that, as if the grain's being processed, it's being dried out or something along that line. So for the pursuit force, as they come by here, all they'd see is a pile of grain. They wouldn't realize that there's a well underneath that the two young Levites, priests, are hiding in. So when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said to him, "They've already gone over the brook of water." So they've already headed out. They're heading for the Jordan. They're probably gone by now. And when they sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. So remember, this is all happening in the night, probably the late hours of the daylight for the day that Absalom arrived at Jerusalem and started his kingdom there, and then into the hours of darkness. And so perhaps in the wee hours of the next morning, maybe after the sun's come up, after it's understood that the pursuit force has been properly deceived, the men came up out of the well, and then they went and told David. So they do escape. They hastily, perhaps running, get down to the Jordan, cross, or get with David and tell them, "You gotta go." In fact, here's the message. They said to David, "Arise, go quickly over the water, for thus and so has Ahithophel counseled against you." And so David arose and all the people who were with him, they crossed the Jordan. By daybreak, not one was left who had not crossed the Jordan. So I forgot that one little phrase there. So it is clear that this was happening in the hours of darkness, that the message finally arrives to David from these two young men. And so by the time the sun rises on that next day, everybody's across the Jordan. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, so now we have a little flashback to the day before, he saddled his donkey and he went to his own city. He set his house in order, and then he hanged himself and he died and was buried in the tomb of his father. Now, why did he do that? Because he's a smart guy. He is pretty certain that because David survived the first couple of days of the coup, he's probably going to come back from it. The odds are going to be in his favor. And he will beat back the coup, and anybody that was involved in it will be in great trouble, himself included. And so he would rather go out on his own terms. So he commits suicide after taking care of all his family business. And then David came to Mahanaim. Now, Mahanaim is just north of the Yabuk River. The Yabuk River drains into the Jordan. I think it's about two-thirds of the way down toward the Dead Sea from the Sea of Galilee. And Mahanaim is the place where Jacob saw two camps, his own and a camp of angels. It's where he wrestled with an angel. And apparently, at some point in Israeli history, it became a very strong fortified city. The last time we heard about it was when the civil war was going on between David and Ishbaal, the surviving son of Saul. And Ishbaal took up a fortified position in Mahanaim. So David apparently believes it's a good place for him to establish his headquarters in his struggle against the Absalom coup. So with time, Absalom gathers his forces, and then Absalom crossed the Jordan with all the men of Israel. So that's following Hushai's advice. So we are now several weeks later. Now Absalom had set Amasa over the army instead of Joab. So because Joab left with David, Absalom puts his cousin, one time removed, in charge of the army. And we'll talk more about that the next time we get into the Word.